Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to talk today about how the land reacts to our behavior. When you think about this, you hear quite often when you hear the scripture quoted, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. The land will be healed when we repent. If you back up a little bit, you don't hear this part quoted as much. You hear the word of the Lord saying that, you know, when I send a plague, when I send famine, when I send locusts, if my people, so when you see things happening in the earth, the earth responds to our behavior. And so you're seeing an increase in turbulence taking place in America and the world, but you're seeing also an increase of sin, an increase of just openly sinning and accepting sin. As a matter of fact, Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, was interviewed recently by Jim Baker and the Jim Baker Show, talking specifically about this. Let's take a look.
Have you ever thought about this, though? And I preached on this last night in Branson. I preached a message entitled, "The Earth is Speaking, Are You Listening?" Mm-hmm. And if you go back and look, when Adam sinned, the Lord told him, he said, the earth is not going to cooperate with you. Thorns and thistles are going to come up. Mm-hmm. There's a direct correlation between sin and the land. When Cain murdered Abel, the Lord told him, he said, where's your brother? He said, I hear his brother crying out to me from the ground. So he said, I tell you what, he said, you'll be a fugitive and a vagabond, but he said, the earth is not going to cooperate with you. You can plant your seed, but it's not going to cooperate with you. So from Adam and Eve to Cain, whatever, the earth was affected by man's sin. When Jesus died on Calvary, there was an earthquake. When he took on the dogs of the damned and the bulls of Bashan, and he took on all the demons of hell, and he became the propitiation for our sins, he shed his sinless blood. All the sin of the world concentrated on the man on the middle cross. That's why it turned dark. The powers of darkness were over him. But there's an earthquake. When he resurrected from the dead, there's an earthquake. The earth responds. The earth manifests.
Yes.
So whenever you see, and you hear the prophet Daniel praying, and he says this, he says, Lord, forgive us the sins of our fathers, etc., and heal our land. They always say the sins, forgive us our sins of our fathers even, and heal our land, because they know that the land is affected by the sin. The greatest revival scripture in all of the Bible is in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, he said, I will hear, I will help, and I will heal. I will heal their land.
Heal the land.
So there's a connection that we don't quite understand between the land and sin. The more sin increases, the more the land will manifest. Oh. You follow me?
Yes, yes, I do.
So what I'm saying is, the more filthiness and perversion, and the more God's cup of wrath is filled where it's ready to overflow, the earth will manifest like crazy. Mm. There is a connection, definite connection, between sin and the land. And I've got many, many other scriptures I could go over.
So powerful.
But the Bible lists four things that will affect the land.
Okay.
It mentions, I think I can recall them by memory. The first one is the shedding of innocent blood.
Yes.
The second one
is... Okay, wait a minute.
Oh, boy.
The shedding of innocent blood.
Yeah.
Do unborn babies have blood in them?
Absolutely.
I know you've gotten convinced. There's people sitting right here are convinced that an unborn baby is just a blob of tissue. No, that's not what God said.
Well, but what you have to understand, when the Lord said to Cain, about murdering Abel, he said, your brother's blood's crying to me from the ground. What he was saying
Blood.
What he's saying is, blood don't need vocal cords. Mm. Blood doesn't need a body. And it doesn't need a tongue. It doesn't need lungs. What God said is, the blood itself has a life, and I hear that life. I hear the language.
Life is in the blood.
I hear that language of that life. So whenever the doctors abort a baby and that blood is being flushed down the commode, God hears the voice of that baby going down that commode saying, help!
Yes.
Forgive, Lord. Help. Forgive them. You know, forgive my mother. Mm-hmm. God hears the blood of those babies. He doesn't need a vocal cord for blood. He said, I hear the blood of your brother crying out to me from the ground. And then the second thing that the Bible says that affects the earth, four direct sins that affects the land, is idolatry. And he said, they have defiled my land with the lifeless forms of their vile images, and they have filled my inheritance with their detestable idols.
Idolatry.
Idolatry has defiled my land. But then listen to this one. I want you to hear this one especially. Immorality, fornication, and homosexuality. Here's what it says, Leviticus 18, which discusses sexual sins. It says, do not defile yourself in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I'm going to drive out before you became defiled. Even the land was defiled, and I punished it for its sin, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. Now, what that means is, God said, because of sexual perversion, I will cause the land to vomit out the inhabitants of it.
What does that mean?
Well, whenever a volcano erupts, it drives people away from it.
A volcano is vomit.
It throws people out of their domicile.
Something like Yellowstone could almost make half of America uninhabitable?
Vomited out. It said,
oh, God help.
And then here's what it said. It said, the land is full of sexual sin, like adultery, homosexuality. Because of the curse, the land lies parched. Because of the curse of sexual sin, the land lies parched. What's going on in California right now? With such a drought.
Yeah.
In California.
In history. Worst drought in history.
Worst drought in history. Because of the curse, the land lies parched, and the pastures in the desert are withered. The prophets follow an evil course and use their power unjustly. The next one, and this is a very important one, the fourth one, Brother Jim, is breaking covenant is what causes the land to be affected, breaking covenant. Listen to this one. It says, the earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. What's getting ready to happen with Israel right now is the president is turning his back on Israel. We've been in a covenant with Israel since 1948.
Yes.
We've been blessed. We haven't cursed Israel. We've been blessed. And we've been blessed because we blessed them. What it says is breaking covenant. He said, therefore, the curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. Therefore, the earth's inhabitants are burned up and very few are left. But it talks about breaking covenant. So what we're getting ready to do right now, we're on the verge of breaking covenant with Israel and turning our back on Israel. And letting the United Nations actually take away Jerusalem and divide Jerusalem. And we're breaking covenant. But not only are we breaking covenant now, but this law has just come down from the Supreme Court. You got the blood moons coming up and all, like I talked about in the beginning of the program. All this stuff is dovetailing and coming together right now. So here's the four sins that affects the earth and will cause the earth to utterly break down. Number one is shedding innocent blood. Mm-hmm. Number two is idolatry. Number three is immorality, such as homosexuality and lesbianism. And the fourth one is breaking covenant. Those four things cause the earth to convulse and to puke out its inhabitants. They're not only afraid, but they're ashamed.
Oh.
Of what?
Wow.
They're ashamed of the power of God. Many of them are ashamed of the moving of the Spirit of God. They're ashamed of it. Now, they're not just afraid of people. But how... Can you believe that a president would treat somebody of the stature of Benjamin Netanyahu like he did the last time?
No.
To treat a man of that stature, he's a statesman. He's a last day statesman for the nation of Israel. Articulate, loves Israel, loves Jerusalem. And here our president is ready to break covenant with Israel because he's got his feelings hurt. It's a narcissistic personality. He has his feelings hurt. Showed me last Sunday morning. My wife had just left to go to church, and I was still at home. And he showed me the United Apostates of America. United States Apostates. And whenever I saw it, I couldn't quite figure out what I was seeing. But then the Lord showed me what it was. And we just got that video completed last night and posted it at 10:30.
Oh, my land.
So it's been done quick. I had a staff that's really great, and they did that for me. This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now. I went upstairs immediately, did some research, looked it up in Webster, and I looked up apostle. one son out on a mission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and establish disciples that will follow his teaching. An apostle is one who initiates great moral reform or one who first advocates an important teaching, belief, or moral system. The highest ecclesiastical office in some church organizations. But look at the term for apostate. Renunciation of the religious faith once delivered by the apostles. Abandonment of a previous loyalty. Defection. I said, Lord, does that mean that all the United States stands with this new law? And the Lord said, no. But he said, the apostates have united, and there's a majority now, and my people are in the minority. It's like a ship going through the water with coordinates. It's been on that course for almost 250 years. There's new coordinates put in, and when those new coordinates are put in, it changes course, and it's turning left in the water, and it's headed right into a major storm.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
But what we're talking about here is that the church basically now has become an apostate church. Not every church, not every pastor, but there's an apostate spirit where now we have left the teachings of the early apostles, and the church has been left to us, you know, sterile. Many churches are sterile today. So what I feel like the Lord is saying to me is that judgment is right at the door. I don't know when it's coming, but I think everybody, no matter who they are, I think everybody can feel it. You know, one of the things that amazes me is it seems like a wino laying on the side of the road has more of a sensitivity to the coming of the Lord than people do in the church pews.
That's so true.
A wino, and people come up to me all the time out of the world, and they'll say, Pastor Kilpatrick, we recognize you. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what's going on. You go to churches, and people don't say that. And you start preaching along these lines, and people fold their arms, and they just start dozing off. And that.
Isn't that amazing that it seems, this is what Jesus said. He says, you know, people that are not part of my people understand the times. Farmers understand the seasons, but it's like my people don't understand the seasons going on. I mean, you could talk to the local store clerk and they'll tell you something is up, but you talk to Christians and it seems like they're just thinking everything's fine, everything's going well. Well, it's not. There's horrific moments on the epicenter of all time that we're being confronted with right now. And the hope is that we turn back to the Lord, that we turn back to Him. We get back from this break. Pastor John Kilpatrick begins to talk about this vision, this dream that he had about how America, if Jerusalem splits, and believe me, everything's in line right now. You have our president, John Kerry, the Secretary of State, lining up with the United Nations to be able to, they passed a law, or the Supreme Court judges ruled on the fact that you can no longer say that you were born in Jerusalem. You can only say you were born in Israel. They're just defaming the name of Jerusalem. You go back to the Democratic National Convention where they said they didn't even want Jerusalem to be mentioned as the capital of Israel. Why? Because they're planning on dividing the land of Israel. We get back from this break. Watch what the Lord told Pastor John Kilpatrick. If Jerusalem is divided, and America has something to do with it, and it looks like we're all over it, our leaders are, then America itself is going to be divided, physically divided.
That's, you know, it's, man, that's just how it works.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the land right now, you look at the volcanoes, you look at the tornado after tornado after tornado, you look at the droughts, you look at the hell. I'm in a plane, a brand new aircraft, John, some sort of Boeing aircraft or something, got hit by hell, and it knocked in the whole front nose of it.
Wow.
And they had to land the plane, emergency landing. They were coming from overseas to back to America, I believe. And other hell has hit the aircraft where it just disabled it. It could never be done. It took it out.
Destroyed it.
Destroyed it. And it's so weird because it's you would think that the more of these turbulent things happen, the more people go, like, something must be going on. And yeah. I don't know what it is.
But we need to pay attention. Right. Yeah,
but people would just become actually more blind to the fact. And then you have these prognosticators who come on television and say, well, what happened was
climate change.
You know,
change.
This is the ring of fire thing that we've talked about this for quite some time. And there is a, you know, a...
Careful.
Yeah, they come up with, you know, the comet kind of drew near, you know, global warming, the polar bear. I mean, all these different things that's been said. And it's almost like the enemy has placed out an argument already, a narrative that people can hang these turbulent times on, like global warming. And it's almost like the devil knew that the earth was going to shake when we as a people entered into deeper sin, because it just happens, like Pastor John Kilpatrick's saying. Well, why are they pushing global warming? That seems ridiculous. Not if people are looking for a logical reason of why the earth is shaking and why these tornadoes are happening and why these things are going, instead of the real thing is we're in sin. I mean, you think about that and it's like, oh my goodness, a narrative's already been painted where they can say, this is that global warming thing.
Yeah.
And then the El Nino or whatever they call those different things. And so, but this is the Bible. This is why, this is where we find out how things happen. And it's living, it's active. It's God. He's just not a man that he would lie, the son of man that he would change his mind. Yes, these are turbulent times, but we know what to do. We just repent. You know, if my people are called by my name. But right there, this very moment, this crescendo is taking place in the world. Our leaders are spearheading this, and our allies are reportedly shocked at what we're doing. But how we are partnering with the enemies of America and the enemies of Israel. And, you know, some of God's kings did that in Israel, you know, and God said, you know, because you allied yourself with an enemy of mine, you know, I'm going to deal with you. And it talks about the land and militant things coming into the land. So when you start seeing, you know, radicals, whatever, running all over America, when you start seeing the earth shaking and quaking, when you start wondering why they're drilling down deeper and deeper in California, trying to get to some more water, you can either say, it's whatever the weatherman said, or you can say, we've sinned. I need to get back and to find out what God says about this. You need to ask your pastor, why aren't you preaching the truth? Why didn't you tell us this? Isn't it more important you risk losing me than me losing my soul? Why didn't you tell me about this? And I think a lot of people are going to be, you know, very upset, because people are more concerned about trying not to hurt someone's feeling than to hurt their destiny.
My goodness.
And their eternity. And so these things are happening right now. And not only that, so here they are. If you go back and you've watched us, I don't know if we have that Democratic National Convention. Do we have that Democratic National Convention where the mayor of San Francisco?
Los Angeles.
But they openly declared, they said that they removed Jerusalem as the capital of
Israel from their platform.
Right. And it's Jerusalem is the key epicenter of God's heart. And the enemy wants it. And when you think about that, we saw it right in front of us. Before America decided who their leader would be, this is still in the process of determining who it's going to be or not. I don't know if we have that. Do we have that? Yes. And so we're about to see. This is them. This is before this current leader was chosen for this present term of presidency. And the people that were behind writing out the platform for the Democratic National Party said that they wanted to remove in their platform Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the platform drafting committee chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform. As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition, President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the, let me do that again. All of those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no. I guess.
You've got a rule, and then you've got to let them do what they're going to do. Rule.
I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted. And the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service as chair of the platform drafting committee. Now, everyone, please.
So you're wondering what they said no to. They were saying no to Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Chose what they didn't choose. They chose, and the lady says, you got to give them what they're saying. And what they said was they didn't want Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. And guess what? It just progressed. The whole, even though they changed it in the verbiage there, they forced it upon the people who said they didn't want it. I mean, think about that. And you know who reportedly opened the Democratic National Convention? This is not about political party. There's no salvation in any political party. But Vashti. The lady's name was Vashti. You know, Vashti, if you study about Vashti, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, this whole thing was, you know, a platform that's against God. And now you're looking at abortions being cranked out, funded. You're looking at all these different things just nonstop happening against God. And I think about this Kenyan pastor that we'll hear him talking on probably tomorrow's program about, he said, you know, you're destroying your country. You're destroying your country. And we don't want that, our country, to be destroyed right here. Well, understand the Supreme Court just ruled against a law that was made by Congress saying it was unconstitutional, that you can no longer say that you were born in Jerusalem. You can only say you were born in Israel. You cannot say you were born in Jerusalem. I mean, everything they're doing, Secretary of State John Kerry said to Israel, they threatened them with a third intifada. I mean, in today's paper, they're talking about John Kerry saying, boy, if they defend themselves, if they send some sort of cyber attack to Iran for these nuclear things going, if they defend themselves, it's going to be really bad. They're going to be really isolated. These threats going out towards, I mean, this is, and when we get back from this break, you're going to hear what God showed Pastor John Kilpatrick is going to happen to America. And listen, who's standing up for Israel? Who do you hear understand what's going on? We have people that are complaining that we're standing for Israel. We're going to continue to stand for Israel. And if you stand with us, with VFN TV, I'm telling you, we're standing together. Partner with us. Because this is, in the last days, we're going to be judged in the Valley of Jehoshaphat based on what we did with Jerusalem, what we did with the land of Israel. Join us after the break. You're going to be so surprised what God has shown Pastor John Kilpatrick. It's going to take place in America, and it has to do with the Mississippi, or at least that area around, they call the Madrid fault line. Oh. Imagine in the Mississippi River becoming so wide that you couldn't even see either side of the banks, and it was water all in between. Imagine America just being split. Well, this is what the Lord laid on Pastor John Kilpatrick's heart. If we participate, and look, we're all over it. America is all over trying to split United Nations. And we talked about the unstoppable voting block, that the majority of the people inside the United Nations does not like Israel, wants to do away with Israel. Everything is against Israel, and they're going to vote to to remove Israel from mm-hmm. Jerusalem. So that's a guaranteed thing if it gets turned over to the United Nations, like the president said.
And that's what they're pushing for. That's what they're pushing for. That's the agenda.
And a lot of people don't understand that. So they're thinking, oh, the United Nations, he's wanting to carry it to the United Nations. He knows the United Nations is going to vote against Israel. And that's been the platform all along. This has been in our face. This is before us and God. This has nothing to do with man. The question is, will we stand for God? Will we stand for Israel? Will we say, do not? And remember, this is a representative government. So the people in Washington, D.C. vote ever how you tell them to vote. So you're going to have to call them up and let them know. Vote for Israel. Do not, you know, allow this thing in this treaty with this nuclear agreement with Iran, who's an enemy of Israel, an enemy of America, and an enemy of God, you know, whose son is Jesus Christ. I mean, this is a major thing. So watch what Pastor John Kilpatrick says is going to happen if this happens to Jerusalem.
Madrid fault line, you had such a vision that it just shook your life.
It was a dream. I'm having dreams and visions, so that means I'm not quite as old as
you're middle age. That means you're middle age in Jerusalem.
Jerusalem's the issue.
And that the new Madrid, you saw it shaking. Could you just explain that quickly?
I was suspended over a river down by my house in Alabama. I was hanging over it, looking down at it, and I knew where I was. I could see the river. But immediately that river just went like that out of sight, and you couldn't see the bank of the river at all. And then the scene changed, and I was taken to like an old ancient schoolhouse. I didn't know where it was, and I was running through this old schoolhouse. And my teeth were clapping so hard in the dream, I couldn't clamp my teeth tight enough to keep them from clapping because the earth was quaking and bucking like a horse. And I saw a man in my church in front of me, and it was throwing him around like a rag doll. So I said to myself, it must be doing the same to me because I can't keep from my teeth cracking and popping. So then the way it ended up is I saw like an old map of antiquities, and it showed the name Indianola, and it showed Europa. Well, as soon as it was over, I called my wife in and I said, Brenda, I was shaking so hard, I couldn't stop shaking. It was like I'd seen a tragedy in real life. I just couldn't stop shaking. So she held me for about 30 minutes and I calmed down. So when we looked up Indianola and we looked up Europa, we found out that there was five Indianolas at one time in America, but only three left now. One was in Mississippi. One was in Texas, and one was in Illinois. But I saw, whenever that was over, I saw a line going like this way toward Europa. So I knew that it was going from the east to the west. So when Europa was in Missouri, and Indianola was in Illinois. Europa is just a small, small place in Missouri. And Indianola is just a very small place in Illinois. Nothing noteworthy about it at all, and I couldn't figure the dream out. So a pastor called me later that day, and I told him my dream. And he got on the computer, and when he put Indianola in and Europa, it was the New Madrid Fault. You could superimpose those two cities over the New Madrid Fault. So then it made sense to me that the Lord was showing me that New Madrid Fault was about to break. And listen, that room was bucking so hard. It was bucking exactly like you were on a wild horse, and you couldn't. My teeth wouldn't stop clapping. It was bucking that hard. And I said to myself in the dream, whatever structures were, they are no more. So I have believed that New Madrid is in the center of our country. And the Great Lakes are up top and the Gulf is at the bottom. What I believe I saw when that river went out of sight is I believe that the Great Lakes was busted loose and the water started draining down. And I believe the Gulf water started draining up. And that's why the waters went out of sight all of a sudden. I think it split America right in half. So what I felt in my spirit, and I can't prove this, I just felt it in my spirit. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, if they divide Jerusalem, if America has a hand in causing... If the Secretary of State or the President or whoever has a hand in causing Israel to divide Jerusalem and giving up that land for peace, I will divide America. And I believe that to this day. I can't prove that, but I believe that to this day. But I will say this. I will say this, and you can mark this down as a prophetic word. In the days to come, you're going to see earthquakes that will startle you.
Yes.
Because as sin increases, the land will manifest greater than it ever has.
And this New Madrid, I'm sure you've studied it since, the vision, I had no idea these two cities of the same name. And you know, when you looked on that map, it had to shock you that, you know, and that, what was the year it shook before?
When the Mississippi ran
backward. Yeah, it was the largest earthquake probably in the history of America in the past.
It rang church bells in Boston.
Right.
That's how powerful it was. And that shook, and that river ran backwards. And if it happens now, that was not in modern times. You know, it was in early America. And so if that thing happens now, millions could die. You feel like maybe even all the bridges would go, and literally it would divide America for a period of time, and you couldn't even get across.
The train rails would be disrupted. Trains couldn't run. Trucks would not be able to connect because the earth would split. Mm-hmm. The waters would come down. So basically, America would be split in half, just like they would be splitting Jerusalem in half. But Jim, in the last days, the Bible never said that Israel would be the issue. The Bible said in the last days, Jerusalem would be the issue. Mm. When God brought the children of Israel back from the four corners of the earth, he said they'll never be uprooted. But he said in the last days, Zechariah made the prophecy that Jerusalem would become a cup of trembling to all nations, and that means the United Nations. And it said anybody that mishandles Jerusalem would be cut in pieces or broken into splinters. So here's what I would like to say. The next person that's elected president, or including this president, I just wish it was some way possible that the Holy Spirit could raise up a prophet or a very influential minister to be able to go in and warn the president in person. Mm. If you divide Jerusalem, it's going to destroy America.
Mm. Yes, amen.
And I believe that the next man that runs for president, his greatest thing on his plate would not be the economy, it would not be jobs, it would not be urban renewal. The greatest thing that he would need to be conscientious of is, how am I going to handle Jerusalem? This stuff sounds ominous, it sounds disturbing, it sounds negative. But really it's not, because Jesus said this. He said, when you see these things, he said, lift your head up and rejoice.
Yes.
Your redemption.
He didn't say get depressed. He said rejoice. But one final thing I would like to say is, the Lord showed me several years ago in 2007, he said, warn the people. This was in 2007, and I did it immediately. He said, warn the people that there's going to start being signs in the heavens. That was before we knew about the blood moons. That was before the meteorite came over Russia and broke all the windows, you know, and did all that stuff. That was before, you know, we had knowledge of what's going on in the heavens. But the Lord said, tell the people, warn them that there's going to start being signs in the heavens, and for some, it's going to upset them and scare them.
Yeah,
but for others, he said, it's going to be a sign of my coming, and he said, they will rejoice.
When you think about these things, or you think about, you know, he talks about going to the schoolhouse and his teeth hitting. You know, I was listening to a report of the huge tornado that came through Oklahoma, and the schoolhouse, there was kids and teachers in the schoolhouse, and the kids on Fox News, and he's saying, my teeth were just banging together. The wind was so powerful. He was in a schoolhouse. It was this huge, like 500-mile-wide or 100-mile-wide tornado. It was a huge tornado. And he said his teeth were just banging together. And instantly that word, you know, came when I heard that. And then, you know, talking about whatever structures that were or no more. And you think about, if you're living in a city, you know, our friends that are in, you know, Manhattan and the larger cities, that you imagine this thing being shaking.
Catastrophic loss. When he said the last time this happened in the 1800s, it rang the church bells in Boston.
Yes.
So it's something that rippled, the effect rippled all the way to the Northeast.
And the Mississippi ran backwards. And we're going to talk more about this when we get back from the break, because John Paul Jackson prophesied about these geophysical things taking place, and it's like minimum force necessary. This thing could stop any moment if we choose to stop and turn to God and say, God, forgive us, and turn back to him. Okay, so this is contingent upon whether, you know, what Pastor John Kilpatrick's talking about, you know, if America's involved in dividing Jerusalem. Mm. Well, I don't think there's much question of that when you look at it's just out front, all the way from the Democratic National Convention. That was all about Jerusalem. Every bit of that was about Jerusalem. And you look at the, we have to no longer, can you say that you're born in Jerusalem? Why? They're getting things ready so that you can say, this is Israel, it's not Jerusalem. This Jerusalem has been divided. And God's going to win. I mean, God's going to defend Israel. Mm. Israel's there because of the Lord. And but understand this, but ever what we do with that land, and think about the splitting of America. I mean, this huge, and it's like, you know, whatever structures that were are no more.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. But it doesn't take much. I mean, we've been through some hurricanes. If you guys have been through a hurricane, earthquakes, you know that once things start shaking, I know this, that, you know, when I was on a ship in the Navy, which is nothing but an earthquake, and you learn that nothing just sits around like it normally does, because once the ship starts to move, then all of a sudden everything that's on your shelves, all the books, life's different when you're on a rocking ship and goes up and down with these rises and falls. And some people can handle that and some people can't. When things begin to shake like that, it won't be just, a simple little this and a simple little that. Once food shut down, I forget what, 2%, 3% of America grows the food for?
2% for the other 98%, and most of it comes from California.
Which is, they're drilling down so deep. Now they're using, you know, next century's water now, something like that, because they ran out of water, and they're knowingly doing it. And that's where a lot of our foods are coming from. And so all these things are coming to pass, and realize that, you know, turning away from God, abandoning God, means God pulls back and abandons that nation. So we have to say, you know, we're not. We're going to turn back to God. Even in the midst of this turbulence, you know, this is a great day. He says, you know, be encouraged. Look up, that our redemption draws near. We're not fearful of what may happen or what might not happen. Mm-hmm. We want people to be saved. We don't want people to be lost outside of knowing God. We need to be able to tell them. And in that turning, a third great awakening, a revival, maybe God will let America stand, but it's totally up to God, you know, and I believe he has good plans for America, but it's contingent upon, you know, will God's people repent? And so I think about this, how difficult are the times going to be? Listen to what John Paul Jackson said when he was talking about the Lord showed him specifically, even to the point in the cities, John, where they're breaking up the streets to be able to grow gardens, how desperate it was. Mm-hmm. Take a look at this.
Some of the other things that are going to be happening in geophysical issues are jet streams are seemingly going to go wild to weather forecasters and cause major weather shifts around the world. There'll be drought in some areas, and water from some of your faucets will be more expensive than oil. Some cities, in fact, will evacuate thousands because there's not enough water to meet their needs. As Amos 4:7 says, I, or God, I make it rain on one city, and I withheld rain from another city. Earthquakes will begin to strike not only coastal areas, but even the Midwest will experience a devastating one. In fact, the Midwest may experience one before any coastal city does. A volcano will erupt and begin to become active and eventually erupt in the United States again. There will be thunderstorms with softball-sized hail and 24 inches of rain within a 24-hour period of time. There's going to be places where 3 feet of snow will fall in a 6-hour period of time. There will be times when tornadoes strike this nation with winds of more than 350 miles an hour, and there will also be tornadoes in unusual places. In other words, places that typically don't have tornadoes will experience them. There will be a hurricane that ends up striking this nation with winds of over 180 miles an hour and storm surges that flood miles inland.
We're going to make this whole John Paul Jackson video available to you on VFNTV.com on The Torch, because there's context to it. There's a lot of different areas.
It's called The Perfect Storm.
The Perfect Storm taking place, and these are things that are happening. And the question is, you know, what's bringing it? Sin. What will stop it? Repentance. How long will it last? Until we repent. What is the best way to fight these things that are happening? Live a righteous life. Just do right. It's not about physically trying to do something. It's like, just start living right, you know, start being the light in the midst of darkness. And we're not perfect, but just saying my heart is leaning towards wanting to, you know, serve the Lord. That's what I want to do, despite what everybody else does. And you're looking at these geophysical. When you heard what Pastor John Kilpatrick was talking about, that's geo, that's the earth. You know, geophysical things begin to happen. Why? Because it's responding to our sin. And these are prophetic warnings. This perfect storm talks about economic, political, I mean, all these things that are taking place. We have a financial crisis that's coming like never before. But it's almost like a setup where other people want to be able to get rid of the kind of paper type currency and move to this digital thing. But once things go digital, understand it may be easier to do things, but understand this, that it's easier for someone else to know what you're doing. So you can control that. It's much easier than just tattooing a number on your arm and writing in a ledger, right. You know. And so here we are. These things, we're facing this moment in time. If you look at what our current leaders are doing with Israel, and by the way, if you think the answer is conservative politics, the Congress, the House of Representatives is filled with those folks. And guess what? They're passing all this stuff. They're not doing any, there's like six or seven major measures that could have voted against it. They could have unfunded it. They could have stopped it. All of them. And they didn't do it. Well, the answer is not political. The answer is the church humbling ourselves and praying in turn. It's us. It's not them. I mean, think about it. You have a majority. People say it's a conservative thing. And it's not a conservative thing. I mean, they could have voted against these things. The purse strings for all of this. Who pays for it? The House of Representatives pays for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're choosing to pay for all of it. And I believe it's because God is just causing it to be, you know, he turns us over to thinking that it's not productive. And it's like we have all these unproductive thoughts and reasons why we're doing what we're doing. And the truth is, it's taking us further and further into a bad, difficult place. And what we have to do is say, you know what? This stuff hasn't happened yet. I mean, he puts a watchman on the wall and he says, he lets them kind of get a glance at what's coming. And he begins to tell them, now tell people about it. And you tell people about it. And he says, and if they hear you and they respond to it, then I will stop the storm I intention for them. I mean, he can just stop it. I mean, God is God. If he can split America physically, you know, if he can cause the wind to shift, you know, to be able to determine whether America will be a reality or not when his founding fathers were fighting in New York, I mean, he's in total, complete, 100% control. The question is, are we ready to give up control and turn our hearts and lives over to God, to be loyal to the Lord? These days are definitely the days of Elijah. These are days where the problems are becoming as flesh. Yes, the leaders in Washington, D.C., no matter what they say, what they're doing is against the united Jerusalem and what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is standing up for, trying to defend themselves, a small country that's widest point is like 70 miles wide at its widest point. And we're not standing up and saying, stop this. We actually signed an agreement. Let's let Pastor John Kilpatrick just speak over us and just close us out in prayer after this word was released there.
Father, bring confusion to the camp of the enemy. Frustrate the token of the liars. And Lord, you promised in your word that you would not let us be tested or tempted above what we're able to bear. So, Father, we call a cessation of all the works of the enemy for us to get another breath and to move forward and to advance like we've never advanced before. Every satanic attack begin to diminish. The victory and a spirit of triumph come upon you. And don't forget, when the battle's over, God's got spoils left on the battlefield for you. He's going to enrich you and bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.